All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to two passages of Scripture. We're going to go Old Testament and New Testament. And let's begin in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And then we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament. Numbers chapter 13. We'll start there first this morning, and I'll begin in verse 1. I'll let everybody find it. All right, if you hadn't found it yet, just look intelligently at whatever page you happen to be on. It's not. All right, you good? All right, look at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Now, you know what this is talking about, right? This is talking about when they sent the 12 spies, one representative from each of the 12 tribes. And so 12 men were chosen. All right, look at verse 4. It says, "And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben." And then it gives you the name of the man from Reuben, from the tribe of Reuben, that was selected to be one of the 12. And in verse 5, from the tribe of Simeon. From verse 6, of the tribe of Judah. Now, of the tribe of Judah, you remember Caleb. Okay, Caleb, he was the one with Joshua who said when they came back, "Oh yeah, we can do this. Let's go take the land." But then you had 10 who said, "No, no, no, we can't go over there. There's giants over there. We look like grasshoppers next to them. We can't go over there." So two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, we can do this. Let's go." 10 said, "No." All right, so this is a list of the men that Moses selected, one from each tribe. If you will look at verse 8, it says in verse 8, "Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun." All right, so his given name, Joshua's given name. Now, we know him as Joshua today. We have a book in the Bible that he authored after the books of the law, the first five books. The next book is Joshua. So we all know Joshua. And you will look at verse 8, and his given name was Oshea. Oshea. Oshea means salvation. So those of you that write in the margin of your Bible, write the word salvation there. That's what his name means. Draw a line and an arrow to Oshea. All right, now look down, please, at verse 16. After the 12 were chosen, in verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, period. "And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So Moses is the man responsible for giving Joshua his name. Now, when you add the J-E in front of Oshea, it means Jehovah is salvation. And brethren, that theme runs throughout the whole of the Bible. Do you remember over in the book of Jonah, when Jonah went to Whale University? All right, not Yale. He went to Wale University, and he learned some very valuable lessons in that seminary. And one of the lessons he learned is in Jonah 2:9, where he proclaimed, "Salvation is of the Lord." All right, so notice that it was Moses who changed Hoshea's name to Joshua. The Lord is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. All right, now put a marker or somebody's elbow right there and turn over now to the New Testament and to chapter 1 of Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the meaning of his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. When the Lord Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary did not choose the name in which they would call their son. The angel of the Lord chose it. God chose his own name. You will look at that, verse 21, call his name Jesus. That's Joshua. The Hebrew equivalent of Joshua. And when he was born, the Lord named himself. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All right, let's pray together, and then you keep your Bible open, and I want to show you a few things about the wonder of his name. Let's pray. Our Father, help us this morning. I pray you'll give us ears to hear. What a great name was chosen, a name fitly chosen. And I pray you'll help us to see the wonder that is behind this name that was given to our Savior. And Lord, may you just fill me with your Spirit and help me as I preach this morning. May we see the Lord Jesus clearly today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, even today, when a baby is born, the parents, most of the time, really are careful with the selection of their baby's name. Usually, great thought is put into a name. I know when Karen and I found out we were going to have our first one, we had boys' names and we had girls' names. We did not know whether we were having a little boy or whether we were having a little girl. So we had boys' names and girls' names. With the twins, we knew that we didn't know that they were going to be girls, but we had names picked out for boys and girls. Whatever we got, we were going to be happy with it. And we didn't know if we were going to have a boy and a girl. So we had a boy name and a girl name, and so everything was ready. And most people think that through. They will name, take great care in naming their children. Sadly, there are some shallow and worldly-minded people in our world today who do not go into great deal of thought about the matter, and they think that they want to give their child a name after some celebrity or some sports figure, some musician, with the hopes that fame will follow their child just like it followed the others. What most of these people who name their children after these celebrities, if they would just go online and find out that most celebrities have a stage name, then they realize how foolish that was to name their child after some famous person. To be honest, I don't know why you do that, but people do. I read an article recently where it talked about single parent mothers and how these single parent mothers are naming their babies after the Kardashian clan. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I would not get too connected there. I mean, my goodness, look what they did to Bruce Jenner. I'm just saying. You really ought to be careful there. The Hebrew people, though, the Jews, especially in Old Testament times, meant far more by the names they chose than any of us have ever thought about today. That is discovered when you read the Old Testament history. Most of the time, they got the name right. They named a child led of God to do so in many cases, and they got the name right, for the child grew up and fulfilled the name that was given to the child at birth. A couple of weeks ago, I preached to you on Adam and Eve. Here's an example of a family that didn't get it right. They named their firstborn Cain. Cain means acquired. Basically, what she was saying, if you look at it written out, what she was saying was, when Cain was born, she was saying, "I've gotten a man from the Lord," and she thought that Cain was going to be the redeemer that was promised in the third chapter after Adam and Eve sinned, and God promised to send a redeemer. And so when her child was born, she thought he was going to be the redeemer. Well, it didn't work out that way, did it? Cain grew up and became a murderer instead of a redeemer. And so in that case, she got it wrong. She missed it completely. Sometimes names found in the Bible, they turned out to be tragic. For example, when Hosea the prophet named his children, sad story. The firstborn child was named Jezreel, which means judgment threatened. How would you like to be known as threatened judgment all of your life? I mean, the poor child wouldn't have had a chance once everybody knew that terror was on the way. The second child was born, and he named that child Lo Ruham Ma, which means mercy not obtained. That's terrible, isn't it? Bless the child's heart. And then they had a third child, and it gets worse. The next child was born, and he took a look at that child and named that one Lo Ami. Now imagine that. You say, "Well, Pastor, what's that mean?" Well, he looked at that child and he said, "That's not mine." Sad, isn't it? Poor kids, bless their hearts. I mean, they had to grow up with names that blighted them from birth. But I want you to notice that when Christ was born, Joseph named him Jesus. And folks, this was done in obedience to an order given to him by the angel of the Lord Jesus himself. That angel was the messenger of heaven's thought and of heaven's and of God's will. The babe in Bethlehem's manger was registered as Jesus in heaven and reveals God's intent for sending his only begotten Son into the world. Men's salvation will come as men share in heaven's faith in Christ, and the giving of the name when he was born was expressive of this confidence that God had in him when he came into the world. Now, I want to give you just a couple of thoughts about the name Jesus this morning. Folks, he was named by himself to express the reason that he came. I want you to think of just a couple of things. First of all, think about the significance of the name that he was given. It was not an accident that he was named Jesus. The angel of the Lord told Joseph, and the Holy Spirit tells us that his name means Savior. If you look at verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That means salvation. It means Savior. And so the angel of the Lord tells us, you name him this because this is what he's going to do. He's going to be our Savior. Now let's think about this name, Joshua, Jesus, the Greek Jesus, the equivalent of that in Hebrew for the Jews is the name Joshua. Jesus is the Greek version of the same familiar Hebrew name, Joshua. And I have absolutely no doubt that during the time the Lord was born and when he lived on this earth, there were many little Jewish boys walking around the hills of Israel in Christ's day, bearing the name of Joshua. I don't doubt for a second that for centuries now, Jewish moms and dads had been naming their little baby boys Joshua, just hoping beyond hope that their little bundle of joy might one day be Israel's deliverer from Roman tyranny. But the point that I want you to see here is when Joseph named him Jesus, there was nothing startling about the name that he was given. When neighbors heard that she named him Jesus, nobody stopped to ask, "Oh, what do you mean by that? What's your point? Why did you name him Jesus? Why did you call him Savior? Why did you call him salvation?" No doubt, many a young boy all over Nazareth and Galilee and throughout the countryside bore the same name, all given with the same hopes that maybe this one, this Joshua, this Jesus, just might deliver us from our Roman oppressors. When neighbors heard that she named him that, nobody was shocked by it. So the point is, what I want you to see here is God chose a familiar name, not one that separated him from everybody else. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, just like the boy next door, and just like the little boy down at the end of the street, and just like moms and dads had been doing for centuries, thou shalt call his name Jesus. But the question is this: why was this name so familiar to everybody? Why was it so popular? Why was this such a popular and familiar name to all the Jewish folks? What associations did this name bring to mind when they heard it? Well, the name was associated with two men from the Old Testament, men who had a great, huge impact upon their ancestors, and two men who were loved and who were revered and who were respected beyond measure. One man was this Joshua that we read about in Numbers, this great leader who took over as the leader of the children of Israel and who marched them into the land of Canaan and under whose leadership conquered the land of Canaan for the 12 tribes of Israel. So one, a great leader. The second one is a Joshua that you read about later on in the Old Testament when the Jews were allowed to come back to Israel after the Babylonian captivity and were allowed to rebuild their temple. There was another Joshua who was the high priest. And this man was also very helpful in the reestablishment of the law and in the rebuilding of the second temple that was destroyed years before by the Babylonians. So, two Joshuas, all right? The first was Joshua, the great warrior, the great soldier, the great leader. He was the successor of Moses and was consumed with conquering the land of promise for God's chosen people. And you'll remember that Joshua was born in Egypt. He was born in slavery. And when he was about 40 years old, God called Moses to bring the Jews out of Egypt and out from under Pharaoh's bondage. And Joshua assumed the position as the right hand of their leader, Moses. He spent the entire 40 years with the children of Israel in the wilderness and then led the 12 tribes into the possession of the land that became Israel. He was the first man to receive the name Joshua, or Jehovah is salvation. Again, look at Numbers 13. He was the first one to be called Jehoshua. Jehoshua, the Lord is salvation. So far as Jewish history is known, no one ever had that name before. Remember, when he was born, his given name was just Joshua. But then his name became Jehoshua in honor that was given to him by Moses. After the men were chosen, Moses, before he sent them out, changed his name to Joshua, almost like he knew Joshua was going to do something wonderful for his people. His given name was Oshia, salvation, but Moses called him Jehoshua, Jehovah is salvation. But then there was this second one, and you can read about him in Ezra and in Nehemiah and in the history books. And this next Joshua was not a captain. He was not a leader. He was not a general. No, he was a high priest. He served many years after the first Joshua. He was extremely popular with the people because he was the high priest during the time when temple worship was restored, and the Jews loved him dearly for what he accomplished. They viewed him as a man who brought a shattered and broken nation back to God. All right, so that's the first thing that I call to your attention. That's the significance, all right, the significance of the name. But now, secondly, let's dig in a little deeper here, look a little bit more closely to what the name Jesus, Joshua, means. We have seen that it was a common name. We have seen it as common because of two popular men in the Old Testament who were named Joshua. The meaning of the name is seen in the story from the life of the first Joshua here in Numbers 13. In that 16th verse, we are told of Moses taking 12 men, one from each of the tribes, and sending them into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. From the tribe of Ephraim, a man was chosen, and his name was Oshea, salvation. Now, in the course of Moses telling the story of the 12 spies, we are told that Moses changed Oshea's name to Jehoshea, or Joshua. And the reason for Moses changing his name would be discovered once the spies got back and delivered their report. You know the story well. You know what happened there. The Bible says that when the 12 came back, they were carrying the bounty that they had brought from the land of Canaan. Man, the people saw them and they came running, and Moses came running, and the elders, and they all stood around waiting for the report. And when they first showed up, they were so excited. And they said, look at this fruit, look at these vegetables we brought from the land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. Oh, it's wonderful there. We're gonna all love it. And Caleb stepped up, and Caleb said, yep, I've already picked out my mountain. I know where I want to go. I'm going to take that mountain. This is going to be great. And then the people started to complain. And they said, oh, no, 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 no. We can't go over there. The ten said, they're like giants over there. We saw giants in the land. Why, we're like little grasshoppers. They can just step on us. We can't go over there. And then Joshua stepped forward. And Joshua began to speak. And now he's about to fulfill the purpose for which Moses changed his name. When Joshua started to speak, he boldly stated that Jehovah God was more than able to deliver the Canaanites into their hands despite any difficulties that they might have to face. And it was almost like Moses could sense the influence and knew what Joshua would one day mean to the nation. And he wanted to change his name to reflect what he would mean to God's chosen people. Hoshea, salvation. Yes, but this man was not dependent upon the strength of his own arm. When he came back to give his report, he was dependent upon the strength of God Almighty. And folks, he told them, yes, we can take that land because God is going to deliver that land to us. He had no dream of bringing salvation to the people, but believe that it must be the work of Jehovah God. And so Moses brought both names together to celebrate Joshua's faith in the Lord. So Jehovah and salvation are woven together as one in the name Joshua. And this man, Joshua, would lead them into the land of promise, although he was never able to give them rest in the land. Now hang on to that. You remember, he got them in, and they defeated the Canaanites, but he was never able to give them rest in the land. They always had to be looking over their shoulder. The whole time, looking over their shoulder. He never gave them rest. Remember that. All right, let's look at the second Joshua. The meaning of the name was furthered in the life of Joshua the high priest. Many centuries later, once the children of Israel came back and rebuilt their temple and tried to reestablish the glory that they once knew under King Solomon, the man chosen to lead them as their high priest was a man named Joshua. But try as hard as he did, this high priest, Joshua, also failed. Oh, he tried hard, but the people just would not turn from their sin to their Lord. And although greatly loved and greatly admired, this second Joshua could not completely bring the people back to God. So God took the name of two leaders and he gave it to his son in our text in Matthew 1. But the first Joshua only got so far, but then he failed. The second Joshua only got so far, but then he failed. Now, notice what our text in Matthew says. Go to Matthew 1. Let's look now at this Savior that was born. What names he have? Jesus, Joshua. What does Joshua mean? The Lord is salvation. Now let's look. Let's look at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to notice, Joshua the first Joshua, he couldn't get it done. Second Joshua, he couldn't get it done. All right, now we've got a third one. Hey, folks, remember numbers mean something? Three is a number of what? Completion. That first one failed. Second one failed. Oh, don't get me wrong. They were great men. Men so great and so full of hope that moms and dads named their children after their leadership. First one failed. Second one failed. Let's see what this one's going to do. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, comma. Why? For he shall save his people. I think the way this is worded, the form of the sentence really suggesting a contrast. A contrast, yes. With what, Pastor? With the two previous Joshuas. You see, the other two tried, but their missions did not succeed. In Hebrews 2:9, the author tells us that Joshua could not give them rest. They conquered the land, but the author in Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Joshua was unable to give them rest in the land. They had to keep fighting and keep battling against the Canaanites. Oh, he led them in. He led them to great victories at Jericho and at Ai and at the Valley of Elah. I mean, he did some great things, but he could not give them rest. The second Joshua, and while not much is said of him, he also tried, but he failed. Under the leadership of Zerubbabel, he worked so hard to intercede for the people. He thought, here's what I'll do. I'll become one of them. I'll identify with them. And so he wore filthy garments to represent the people, to represent a defiled Israel. But he could not take away their sin, and the filthy garment remained upon the nation. But in the birth of Jesus, we hear not just of a mission. You see, the two Joshuas both had a mission. They failed. But in the birth of Jesus, we hear not just of a mission, but we hear of a method. The angel did not say to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Joshua, for he shall lead his people in." He did not say, "Thou shalt call his name Joshua, for he shall bear away the filthy garments and allow the people once again to have a good testimony." No, 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 no. What the angel said was much deeper than that. The angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Here's his mission. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Ah, now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? You see, the first Joshua failed because of the people's sins, which he could not do anything about. The second Joshua, Joshua the priest, he also failed. He failed to realize in Israel God's eternal and divine purpose. Why? Because of the people's sins, which he could not deal with himself. So the angel of the Lord tells Joseph that this newborn child is going to get the job done. This child will save his people from their sins. Now the question is, can he do it? Here he is, born. The question now becomes, can he get the job done? Can he take away sins and bring rest to our souls? The first Joshua couldn't. The second Joshua couldn't. Can this newborn babe who came into the world and was given the name Jehovah is salvation? Hey, folks, can he deliver the goods? Can he do it? Well, he lived for 33 and a half years. And at the end of 33 and a half years, he ended up on a cross. Not only did he end up on a cross, he died on a cross. All these people saw Joshua, Jesus, and they thought, man, this is our deliverer. He's the one. But then he died on a cross. They all stood and watched him as the blood poured. And they watched him as he hung his head and took his last breath. They all watched as they took him down from the cross and they wrapped him in grave clothes and they put him in a tomb and sealed it. And then once the Passover meal was set, they sat around the table. They looked at one another and they said, "Man, I thought for sure he was it. I thought surely this was our Joshua. I thought surely this is the one that is going to deliver the goods." And with long faces and sad hearts, they thought, well, it's just life as usual again. And then something happened, didn't it? You see, on the third day, that stone was rolled away. And there's the disciples in bed, sound asleep, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door, and they open the door, and there's one of the ladies standing there said, "He's alive." He said, "What? Yeah, he's alive. He's not there." And Peter and John ran to the tomb, and John got there first, but out of respect, he let Peter, the elder, go in, and Peter got inside. An angel of the Lord sitting there going, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive." And I'm telling you, folks, this Joshua got the job done. This Joshua got the job done. The apostles all looked at one another and they said, "Well, we sure thought he was God's salvation. We sure thought he was God's Joshua. It sure looked like he was to us." And they hoped beyond hope that he could do it. But then he died. Oh, but folks, he did not stay dead. Just as he promised on the third day, the number of completion, he came out of that tomb. And you know the good thing is right now, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at your Bible, verse 21. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let me ask you, dear friend, is he your Savior? You see, this Joshua can deliver. This one can do what he says he can do. You say, how do you know that? Because he saved me. And if he saved me, he can save you. Have you trusted him? Is your faith in him? There's a lot of people putting their faith and trust in the wrong things today. They're putting it in a church. They're putting it in a priest. They're putting it in an offering. They're putting it in their own good works and their own efforts. And the only thing that can save you is this Savior right here. Have you trusted him? And if you haven't, you ought to trust him this morning.